Hey, I'm Drew Anderson from Fox 29, and this is the Better Off Podcast, sponsored by Independence Blue Cross, and here's what we're here for. Did you ever go through your news feed? Come on, we scroll through this all the time. You see all these different medical tips, advice, then maybe you have a medical issue. You go Google it. There's so much information out there. What are you better off doing? And especially here locally, we have such great local experts, folks that have been there, that have gone through what you're Googling. So let's find out what we're better off with.
And we're so glad to have Susan Weldon, a breast cancer survivor and CEO of United for Her, and Dr. Luz Ramos, a medical director with Independence Blue Cross.
So today, let's focus on what you're better off with when you hear two scary words, cancer. Such a scary word. Add the breast component to it, breast cancer. That affects, we saw some interesting stats, and maybe some of you guys could help me out. Did I read that it was 1 in 5 women can get affected with breast cancer? By chance, do any of you guys know the stats?
1 in 8.
1 in 8, but it's still astounding.
But it's high. Yes, it's high. And of all the cancers that, you know, we do get diagnosed with, breast cancer is still on the rise, where all the rest of them have been leveling off or a little bit lower. That risk is still rising. So it is a very important issue and topic, and especially for, you know, our women of color, because there's a big difference between survivorship rate.
Well, Sue, I'm so glad that you're here to bring some of your knowledge and expertise. Same with you, Dr. Ramos. I'm just curious, just off the top of your heads, why would that number be rising? You would think, right, our medical advances kind of help squash things, put us in better places.
Yeah, definitely. I think the reason is because there's some barrier still that women are still not getting their mammograms, whether it's education or awareness, making sure that they know that breast cancer is an issue and getting their mammograms in time. And maybe there are conflicting messages that are out there. You just talked about the World Wide Web, knowing when to get their screening right away. Another thing to consider is cost. You know, the ACA mandates that health plans cover the cost of screening mammographies. But then not a lot of people might have some health insurance, so it might be a financial constraint with them. And lastly, maybe fear and anxiety of getting the procedure itself, because there's some discomfort during that process, or the fear of knowing or not knowing. And other things to consider is maybe transportation to get to their appointments, the time and scheduling of the appointment. They may have some individual schedules that may not accommodate that, or depending on where they live, the geographical location we're in, there might not be a mammography facility that they can get to right away. But a lot of these barriers can be overcome by just talking to their primary care provider or their social worker or their health plan as well.
Yeah.
And you bring up a great point, because there are places in the community for folks that maybe don't have insurance that want to help you get the care that you need. And speaking of being better off getting that sort of care, getting those sort of exams, what would be some of the advice that you would have to someone watching that maybe hasn't, for some reason, gotten a mammogram in a year or a couple years? What would you say to that person?
Yeah. Use your resources. I love what you said, Dr. Ramos, because we are here to help you. There are so many nonprofits, medical institutes out there that help and fund these types of procedures. It's just, we have to make sure we're staying up to date with what the science is sharing. So, for example, our women of color, too, under the age of 35, they are diagnosed twice at the rate than our average white woman. But yet the screening started at 40. So, you know, that's under 35. So maybe we got to catch up a little bit. Maybe we have to get to our women when they're younger. I think about education a lot, too. And, you know, our young women, our young girls, they learn about their menstrual cycles in sixth grade, learn about their breast as well. Breast density is a big issue. Sometimes you hear the word density in breast. What does that mean? I have no idea what that means if
so
I have dense breath, right? Like, you just don't know. What does that mean for you? And if we can teach our young girls at an early age about, you know, knowing their body a little better, maybe these fears won't sort of creep in when they're in their 40s or in their 30s, where they're sort of, you know, resistant to get those exams done.
And maybe that's an opportunity when it comes to the schools, right? To maybe say, hey, schools, this is something to bring up when you're talking about different things in health class. But what you said really surprised me, and maybe even help me out and give me a little more context. I'm surprised to hear that young. I feel that's not something that's been in my head from where I'm scrolling through, so I'm glad that we're better off hearing some of this information to kind of give you that reality. You need to start sooner doing these sort of exams. What's some of the latest science have said in terms of that?
You know, self-examinations is really key, and because nobody knows our bodies more than we do. So really what's advisable is to check your breasts on a monthly basis. And the recommendation is do it a few days after each menstrual period. And for folks who are no longer menstruating, just stick to that day of the month wherein you would consistently check your breasts. The things that you should watch out for includes change in size or shape, any lumps or thickening, any breast pain or discomfort, any nipple or skin changes, or any changes in breast symmetry.
So pretty much it's one of those things where if something just, okay, that's kind of weird, and it's in the back of your head, that's what you really want to be hypersensitive about. Mm-hmm. And then from that information, you'd want to go get an exam as soon as you can, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't hesitate. And for our men, too. You know, not many people want to talk about male breast cancer.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me do an exam real quick.
Yeah, and it's important, right?
It's a real problem.
I'm a survivor. I was 39 when I was diagnosed, so I think about my three children as well, one, you know, female, two male. And all of them, you know, just have to do due diligence to checking their breast tissue, including my boys, right? And a lot of men don't want to talk about it. There's a stigma around it. And that's where I know at Unite for Her, we have a Unite for Her, Him and Them. We really want to make this sense of belonging that this is an issue. If we don't talk about it, then men are going to get diagnosed at a later stage.
Wow.
Although the numbers aren't as high, clearly, it's a small amount of men that are being diagnosed, you know, about 2,000 a year, where for women, we're close to 300,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But it is there. It is there. So just having the tools and the knowledge and to say those words and not feel awkward about it, right? It was a good thing that Beyonce's dad came out. That was great, right? We wanted that recognition that, oh, okay, this is more normal than we think it is, and it's okay to talk about it. So I know for us at Unite for Her, Him, Them, we are always trying to put our faces forward so that we can get rid of that stigma.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. So mm-hmm. What, as a guy, would I want to do or think about or look for?
Yeah, it will be the same symptoms that I just mentioned earlier. But what Sue mentioned, for men, it's less than 1% incidence rate. It's more common in women. So if you look at breast cancer risk factors, the things to really watch out for is being born a woman. It's still more common in women, although men do get it, less than 1%. Age, advancing age is definitely a risk factor for that. It's more common in women above 50 years old. However, like what Sue mentioned, for people that are diagnosed less than 40 years of age, a lot of them are African-American women. So that's definitely something to look out for. Other risk factors includes gene mutations, such as what we hear sometimes, the BRCA1 and BRCA2. About 5 to 10% of breast cancers are due to that. Any family history of breast cancer, it doubles your risk of getting the breast cancer. And when I say family history, it's the immediate family. It's your mother, your daughter, or your sister having it. And then a personal history of breast cancer also is something to consider as a risk factor. And that is if you have a previous history of breast cancer or a non-cancerous disease as well.
In my family, my mother, in her side, her dad's side, has a history of breast cancer. So it's something she's been very aware of. And she's had checks where they found lumps. They thankfully were not cancerous. But many times there's been issues. And I was just talking to her the other day. I said, just because I knew we were going to talk about this, I said, when's the last time you've had a checkup? Because of COVID, I don't remember her going. She, you know, moms like to share everything, right? Good or bad. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, it's been a year or two. I'm like, you know, you have to go more frequently. I had to give mom a nudge. Usually mom's giving me the nudge.
Yeah.
But I think that brings up a great point. Us as family members and friends need to lean on each other. With you guys mentioning in particular that big heads up for people of certain backgrounds, we need then together, if you're that, you know, your brother or sister in your family or just someone who's a friend and we have those backgrounds where you have higher risks, let's be on top of each other and be saying, hey, did you go get a checkup? And how did you discover that you had breast cancer? And I appreciate you sharing your story with us. I know it's a little difficult.
Now, 19 years out, Unite for Her was actually born out of my, you know, experience. But sadly, I missed it. I missed it. So I was 39 and taking care of my mom at the time. She had undisclosed cancer. And for 10 months, I was really running myself ragged, just being that caregiver, which you would never do anything else, right?
It's mom.
But right. But I miss my own signs. I lost a lot of weight. I wasn't sleeping, wasn't eating. And here my mom passed away in February, and I'm diagnosed in April. Do I think it was a coincidence? And it was my OBGYN then actually was like, Susan, you have a 5-centimeter, lump on your chest, and I did not even notice. I wasn't paying attention. And that is one of the things, like, know your body, right? Like, I was 39. I thought, yeah, I was run down. I know my immune system was compromised. I know I was losing weight, but I didn't think cancer, right? I didn't think something could sneak in like that, and how stress can really, elevate your propensity to disease, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, I did not find it. My doctor found it. I was going for my annual checkup, and I was grateful for that. And then it was a whirlwind. So, 2 weeks later, bilateral mastectomy, 6 months of chemotherapy, and now I'm sick. Now I'm sick and having a lot of difficult side effects and symptoms that I had to manage just to get through the treatment that were really debilitating, and that's where I found integrative care. I leaned into understanding the power of these complementary therapies like acupuncture and yoga and whole food nutrition, and to get the negative chatter on my mind and help me emotionally and physically. Because when you have that step up to have these resources, you do better on treatment, right? You can manage the hot flashes, you can manage the headaches, the bone pain, and stay and adhere to treatment better. But it's just not a part of the standard of care. So all of that, I did, and I just didn't realize I was forming the business plan for Unite for Her all those years back. I was just trying to survive for my little children and my husband. And but here, there is a lot of data that shows that, these types of services will help people stay on treatment and adhere better and do better. And that's where Unite for Her got its start.
That's your message. Yeah. You're better off doing these things, thinking from a whole body standpoint, not just treating that one element. And when you talk to folks that have cancer, is that your approach? Is that your advice to someone? What's your advice to someone right out of the gate that maybe they just heard that C word, they heard the cancer word?
Sure.
What would you go about navigating with that person to just approach that?
I think you should approach it in a more holistic way as a person-centered care. And I like what you said. It's really the community, the family rallying together to support that person. It's such a difficult diagnosis that support from your friends and family is really critical. And having that great relationship with your primary care provider who will help you navigate through the next steps, whether it's treatment, whether it's surgery, chemo, radiation therapy, is always key.
And I'm just curious, when it comes to something like that, are you better off seeing multiple people at once to get some different opinions from different doctors, or are you better off talking to some friends that have gone through this before and hearing their stories to make decisions? What would you guys say in terms of advice to someone?
Yeah, it's not all one size fits all, right? So every woman, man, person reacts differently, and they're all correct. They're all correct, right? Like, some can be very emotionally withdrawn, and that is, it's a trauma. You should feel that way. Others can feel like, I'm going to get it, I'm going to beat it, I'm going to tell everybody, I want to share, and that's okay too. That's the way they react. For us, there are a lot of nonprofits, Unite for Her being one of them. We have so many advisors and resources. Use us. Like, use your community. Don't be afraid to ask for that support. I think sometimes as women, we feel like we can handle it all and be all. And I got it. I don't need help. And being able to find those resources that are trusted is key. There's a lot of good intentioned people that want to share their experience, and it's not ever always going to be your experience. And that is what's so unique, is that wellness program that we have, you get to pick and choose what works for you, right? You don't have to think like, I have to go this one path. It just might not be for you. You could choose a different way of helping to manage those side effects and symptoms. It is good to have multiple streams of advice, because I think your family is good intention, but sometimes you just don't want to continue to talk about cancer all the time with them.
Right.
So go to a support system like a nonprofit, like your physicians. Go to a support system that's a little bit removed, right? And they're more objective, and they can have these conversations, and you can be honest. And then you can gather your tools. Once you gather tools, it gives you confidence, it gives you control back. Right, one step at a time, and you do lose all control, but that's normal. So don't feel like that is not normal. That is your That is how you should feel. Now, how do we get you to a place where you can gain confidence and gain tools and resources to help you manage, you know, that diagnosis, treatment, and really beyond, right?
Mm-hmm. How would you say you get that control? Is it just through information? Because that's tough, right? You'd feel
it is.
What are you going to do? But with all the different resources and the options, feels like, all right, how are you going to navigate this and that? There's almost maybe too much information, right?
No, it's a lot. I think you start with one place. And since we are here and we're in the Philadelphia area, you know, if you started with Unite for Her and you were in there on their passport of services, we call it a passport, you get to navigate yourself through, what do I want to use to help with sleep deprivation, right? Or maybe I'm having pain. You know your side effect and symptom. Now how are you going to approach it? Some of our community lean into acupuncture. Some lean into massage, oncology massage, other nutrition, other fitness, other they just want to walk, and it clears their mind. Walking forward is such a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. So because everybody chose a different path didn't mean that they didn't work. They did it differently. The outcome was the same. They slept better. They're more clear-minded, but they approached it differently, and that's where we fund and deliver these therapies. That makes it an easy choice because they don't have to worry about a financial need. There is a lot, but you have to think about what works for you. You might mm-hmm. be musically inclined. You might want to write and journal. We find what works for you because it is a personal care plan. Then once you do that, you're making lifelong changes and not changes that are just in the moment because they won't stick, right? They won't stick. Mm-hmm. Food is joyful. It's fun. It's community. We're doing all kinds of food as medicine, right? And talking about how to manage those side effects and symptoms. We have a segment called Potty Talk. It's play on word, but it really is about managing the GI issues that come with a lot of treatments. It's debilitating. Mm-hmm. It is tough to do. You could not get out the door in the morning as someone who going to work and knowing that you have these really difficult side effects from the treatment that you're on. Well, we approach it two ways, right? Let's talk about some nutrition, what you can add, but also the emotional well-being and counseling and maybe some tools to get you to quiet your mind and get that chatter out because all of a sudden you're setting yourself up for a tough day because of experience. So we have these tapes and segments, speaker series, Ask the Expert, just to teach on what area might be a match for you because you're having difficulty with your treatment. Again, it's not one size fits all. Mm-hmm. You just sort of have to find your way and figure out what's going to be best for you.
And what I learned from you just now is it sounds like you're better off focusing on one thing at a time that you know will definitely make a difference to you and then using that to kind of springboard forward.
You got it.
And without question, that integrative approach that we were talking about, mm-hmm. that it's just not treating just the cancer right there. And it's more, like you mentioned, acupuncture.
Yeah.
What have been some of your experiences with that integrative approach of just the whole mindfulness to help you heal?
Yeah, definitely. I practice mindfulness myself. So I think looking at a person, not just as a disease, but also the physiological, emotional, physical aspect of that person is really, really critical because you're treating the whole person. It affects not just the breast cancer that you're treating, but also the way that they relate, the way they interact, the way that they're functioning as well. So looking at them at that way and applying any methods that work, and it's a trial and error. Maybe what will work for one may not work for another person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those approaches are really, really important as part of the holistic approach to care.
Are there any holistic things that just maybe you personally in your life that you feel has really helped? Maybe just yoga, and I'm just talking in general from day to day, or anything like that, from massage. I mean, massage sounds pretty good, but like you mentioned, everyone's affected differently. I had a massage not too long ago, and it was nice to have, like, you know, get that feel to it, but then I was like, okay, I didn't really do anything for me. I think I would have rather had some yoga time for me personally. I'm just curious, in particular, what you do, and both you guys just do from just a day-to-day basis to kind of keep yourself in check?
Yeah, I think physical activity is always good. Get yourself moving, your bones moving, your muscles moving is really important. It helps you with your endorphins. Yeah, I don't know, if when you go to the gym, don't you feel like very, you know, a lot of energy and strength to go by your day? I think physical activity is one thing that I do a lot, and I know it will help a lot as well.
Yeah, I agree. And that physical activity can mean a lot of different things. To some people, it could be walking. To other people, it could be small yoga movement with breath. Like, you can do yoga sitting in this chair. It doesn't have to be that foot up or over your head and wear those cute pants and hot yoga. And it doesn't have to be that, right? So when you just put it in a one category, movement, just move, stretch. So many good ways that you can get that, you know, emotional wellness happening, and then physical outcomes happen from that. So I totally agree there. I leaned into food as medicine for me personally, especially when I was going through my cancer diagnosis. There is a book that we give to all of our community members. It's called The Cancer Fighting Kitchen Cookbook. The first 40 pages are just gold to me, because inside those 40 pages are a glossary of culinary toolkit. They look at the ingredients of food and they share the nutrients, the phytochemicals, what's in that food that I'm eating that allows you to say, oh, okay, prevention, right? It's good for my system. It's good for hormone balancing, good for mouth sores, good for digestion. Now all of a sudden, I want to eat that. So you learn about how food is medicine in a different way, that science behind it, and then it changes the way you look at your food. Mm-hmm. There's also a section called FASS. It's F-A-S-S. It's fast acid, salt, sweet. It allows for when women are going through chemotherapy or treatment, they get a metallic taste, carbonyl taste in their mouth. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to eat. This acronym allows you to brighten the profile of food. So, for example, if you add a fat, an acid, a salt, a sweet, all of a sudden you might be able to get that nutrient-dense food down. Adding maple bee syrup, maybe a sea salt, maybe a lime zest, you know, olive oil. That acronym was very helpful to me because I just couldn't eat, and I was just losing more and more weight, and I had no energy store. So that gave me confidence. That gave me control. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, I'm a 19-year survivor, and I just know what I can control is looking at the food that goes in, looking at what I put on my skin, looking at my rest. Oh, gosh, if a doctor could just write a prescription for sleep, we would be a whole better country.
That right? sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, for sure. And you know your hot buttons. So everybody's different. Like, I learned my hot buttons when I went through my cancer diagnosis. You know, I was ignoring a lot of them. It came front and center, right? So now I'm aware of them. Now I'm aware of the overextending. I'm aware of my sleep needs. I'm aware of my nutrition. I'm aware of my movement. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of acupuncture. I had no idea that this modality, you know, science-based, all physicians, could be such a complement to the standard of care and the cancer care, hence why we put it on our passport.
Well, it's clear you're better off talking to someone who's been there, especially when it's a group that's a little bit outside of your circle. And I'm sure you've had that experience, too, where you connect folks mm-hmm. that have a diagnosis, say, in breast cancer, with, hey, talk to these folks, they've been there. And I'm sure, too, you kind of give some suggestions on that wellness sort of approach. What have you done in the past?
Well, what I've done in the past, you know, a personal story for mine, I'm a good friends, really close friends with two breast cancer survivors, and they're both my role models. And like what you said, reaching out to family and friends is really critical. And having that unit, whether it's friendship or support group, is really important so that they can share stories, know what works for them, and they can pick and choose in terms of if they're on chemo treatment, going through the diagnosis itself, you know, thinking about should I get a mammogram or not, you know, they will be able to get that support system to go through those tough decisions.
I love when you said they're your role models, your heroes. Tell me more about that. What in particular does that really connect you? Because to hear that, that's powerful. It means these are some pretty cool, pretty strong people.
Yes, absolutely. I think definitely both of them were detected early. They got their mammograms, so it was still small, and they were able to go through their treatment. And up to this day, we've been friends for 20 years, and we've been enjoying each other's company, going on trips, going to dinners, and all of that stuff. But every single time, not just in October, they want to make sure each year, for all our friends and family, did you get your mammogram? And they remind each other and myself of that all the time.
And let me,
you know, getting your best mammograms is the best way to detect cancer. With mammograms, you can detect it early on, even before symptoms occur. So what is recommended is you start getting your mammograms at age 40. And if you have the risk factors that I just mentioned, they actually start screening at an earlier age.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think of the heroes when you were talking about the heroes in your life. And You know, for her, we're so lucky that we have this family and community. I mean, we call the members that we treat, they're our family. We treat over 5,300 a year diagnosed with breast or ovarian cancer, and they rely on us and have a trusted community. We talk about community a lot. Our community lifts us up. Our women that are in our program lift us up. But they relate to each other in such a beautiful way that, you know, if you don't want to go to your immediate family, your immediate friends, know that you have resources that you can rely on, too, outside of that boundary. Because not everybody is as fortunate to have that supportive community. We understand that. That's why we make a space for it. It could be a volunteer community, it could be a cooking community, it could be a yoga community, it could just be picking up the phone and talking to our wellness program managers and telling them what's going on. So there's a lot of nonprofits out there that have these beautiful communities that you can align with and find what works for you. You know, when maybe it isn't as easy to talk about, you know, this with your family and friends.
I hear that loud and clear that folks want to help you no matter where you're at, no matter maybe what noise you're getting or what thoughts are in your head. There's so many places that want to help you. Just take advantage of those resources. And I'm sure that's something that you work with folks too all the time to say, hey, this is here for you. Take advantage of it. It's for you.
Yes, definitely. And a lot of folks sometimes, we live in a world of the World Wide Web, right? I don't know if you have a smartphone. It always tells me on a weekly basis what is my screen time all the time. So if you try to get information, sometimes the first thing that people always goes to is the World Wide Web. And it's really great for general information. But like what Sue mentioned, if you want something that is individualized, someone that you can talk to about your care, about your medical conditions, and what will be the next step, really going to your personal doctor is really key, and having that trusting relationship. So apart from that, community resources and friends that could support you along the way, make sure that you have a primary care provider that you can trust, and have, or if you don't have one, find one, and have that trusting relationship, because once you start getting those regular mammogram screenings, whether the result is positive, negative, you would like to have that primary care provider to help you navigate through what's the next step.
And especially what's right here in the community. If you're looking on the web, that's anywhere that's not really personal, but there's so many great resources right here at home, right in our backyard, just people locally that want to help you.
Totally.
That's such a clear message that I got from you that we're better off doing, taking advantage of right here. So I feel really fortunate to be learning what we're better off doing when it comes to breast cancer, both here locally and just from a personal standpoint, how to navigate things. And Sue, I'm so happy that you shared some of your experiences and what you learned. And Dr. Ramos, I've learned so much from you in terms of certain people with different backgrounds need to examine themselves, particularly early. You were just chatting about something. We were just taking a little break about your daughter in particular. Tell me the connection of your daughter to you now because of that diagnosis you had in your family.
Yeah, so for breast cancer survivors, you look at the age that you were diagnosed, and I was 39. And then you go back 10 years, and that's when they should start getting, you know, checked and getting their mammograms or their MRIs. It's a higher risk level, so it's good to know that, you know, okay, I'm going to be on this 10 years prior to the age of my mother's diagnosis. I was young, right? So, you know, and our women are young out there. When you're older, diagnosed in your 50s, the average age is 40 to start a mammogram, so you don't hear as much about it because it's already being done. But when we have young survivors, that is something that I always think about for my immediate family, for the family members of those that we treat. It's 10 years prior to the time that you were diagnosed.
Dr. Ramos, in terms of that, what are some things that folks listening right now should be really hypersensitive to? We talked about this in particular a little bit ago about if you have a certain background, or maybe if you're a guy, this is not something that you can just hide away from. You need to be really aware of certain things.
Yeah, definitely. If you're, the presence of symptoms is really important. That's why you have to check your breasts on a regular basis, on a monthly basis. The family history, the risk factors that we talked about earlier is really important as well. Whether you have the gene mutations, the BRCA1 and BRCA2, and we talked about age and being a female. I think really what's also important is early detection, and mammograms is the best way to do that. With early detection, you're able to start treatment early, increasing your survival rate. So if you detect breast cancer early, the 5-year or more survival rate increases up to 98%, as opposed to if it's detected later, which is at 31%. So when detected early, breast cancer, it's usually localized and easier to treat with breast-conserving measures, wherein you resect a tumor and its surrounding tissue, or less aggressive treatments, such as radiation as opposed to chemotherapy. And lastly, with early detection, you can actually detect any risk factors, whether it's familial, because you have a family member, any of the genes that is hereditary for breast cancer, and other risk factors, and you know, you can talk about that with your primary care provider.
And that's one of my takeaways from both of you today, is that you're better off just detecting this early by doing that self-exam. If insurance may only say cover once a year, you can still check yourself monthly. And that's something I'm going to tell my mom later today when I talk about it, because I feel that's something you don't hear about a lot. So that's why I appreciate having the expertise of both of you to say, hey, this is something that's going to make you better off by doing this. And you were telling me as well that there's data that this whole wellness, this integrated aspect of doing different things, not just treating that one symptom, but treating your mind, your body, your spirit. What's some of the data speaking to?
Yeah, thank you. I know for us, you know, we pay the bills of those that we treat. So we have a lot of data, right? They get $2,000 worth of services and modalities that they can choose from. And we know what they're using. Are they using acupuncture, yoga, massage therapy, fresh fruits, into the home? We have all of this data, and then we survey them. And we joined arms with the cancer support community, and we actually were accepted to present a poster at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Conference, and that was really big for us. And to have that abstract there on 139 metastatic women, if you hear the word metastatic, that means that they're stage four, there is no cure. That is a different breast cancer. I do want to make that clear. Like, that is not the cancer I had. That is... they are on treatment for life. Mm-hmm. And at Unite for Her, we are by their side for life. We renew that passport every 6 months because we know that the treatment is arduous, and if we're going to be able to help them along and make it easier, we want to be there for them. So at the actual San Antonio conference, our poster, you know, we measured a lot of different areas of that whole patient care. One of them was that 94% of our participants said that they were able to better adhere to treatment because of the integrative therapies, because of the Unite for Her program.
Wow.
28% were able to eliminate at least one or more over-the-counter medication or prescribed medication for them. That's huge, right? Like, they're learning and changing how they're not just treating the symptom, they're getting to the root of the problem emotionally and physically. 80% said because of the Unite for Her integrative care program that they were able to adhere to treatment, or they were able to get their side effects and symptoms under control. That was valuable without more drugs and prescriptions, right? 94% saying that they had an overall better quality of life, right, emotionally and physically. So all of that data, you know, there's science behind acupuncture, yoga, massage therapy. You know, it's in the Journal of Medicine. We see it. It's now integrating it with the standard of care. And that's an ultimate goal, that, you know, every person would have a leg up if they could get this type of service right from the beginning. And it could help them stay on treatment and do better managing their symptoms without more drugs and prescriptions.
Dr. Ramos, I know you echo that both from your personal experiences professionally and your heroes, you know, your one-on-one experiences through some of your friends. What are some of your takeaways for someone listening? What do you want to make sure that someone leaves this program with?
Yes, definitely. I think share the news. You know, it is breast cancer. Mammograms is the best way to detect them early. And in between each annual mammography that you get, check your breasts on a regular basis as well. So that's really critical because early detection is key, so you can start treatment early.
And I want to learn more about your organization. How do we do that? What's the website? Give me some info here.
Easy enough. So uniteforher.org, right? Just get on our website. But if you know somebody or if it's yourself, please just apply. So it's uniteforher.org/apply. That allows you to get into one of our three programs. We don't turn anyone away. We have a program for you. One is a passport program, one is a renewable passport program for our metastatic community, and one is the Empowered Living program that allows you to get access to cooking demos live and Ask the Expert speaker series. There is something there. Use us as your support system. Use us as your first point of contact, because it can be overwhelming when you're on the web, right? You'll go down a rabbit hole. I've been in that hole, and it can just, you know, mess with you emotionally and physically, right? Mm-hmm. So go to a trusted resource. We have so many advisors. We have so many incredible partners that make us stronger and better, right? It's a collaborative approach. Yeah. The actual medical community they can't do it alone. They are fighting that cancer. There is so much that they are working towards for targeted therapies, and the strides that they're making is extraordinary. Add in the integrative care, then together we bridge that gap with mm-hmm. integrative care, wellness community, medical community, pharma community, all with yes. the same outcome. It's collaborative, right? Yeah. And that's the overall, I think, message, is to use that support system that you see out there. Start with unitefer.org, right? If you're diagnosed mm-hmm. with breast cancer, we have advisors we can shoot you to. And then find what works for you, right? Because yeah. it's not one size fits all.
Yeah. And especially what's right here in our community. And that's one of the things I know you like to focus on. And I understand you have a whole wealth of resources, too, that can mm-hmm. help lead people on their journey to recovery. Tell me more about some of the resources that you recommend.
Yes, definitely. To learn more about independence.com, just go to IBX.com. Mm-hmm. And so essentially, I like what you said. Everything is complementary, whether it's the medical part of the treatment and the integrative part of the treatment, and it goes really hand in hand in the mm-hmm. holistic view of that treatment for any individual.
Right, because yeah. everything connects.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's the key, right? That's what totally. You're better off doing, the holistic approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was that website one more time?
For Independence Blue Cross, it's IBX.com.
Appreciate both of you. I learned so much. I can't wait to yeah. talk to my mom later today. I need to give her another nudge to mm-hmm. get that mammogram done. I'm going to be having quite a phone call with her, and especially, you know, just sharing that.
She'll appreciate
you. Make sure
you
do, you know, monthly checks.
Yes.
So thank
yeah.
you both so much for all your time. I
you
appreciate
it.
You. I learned
yeah.
so much.
Thank you so much, Drew.
And we're so glad to have all of you with us to just navigate and find out how to be better off. We're glad to have you here on the Better Off Podcast, sponsored by Independence Blue Cross. Appreciate you for listening.